take these words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. As most of you know, I try to begin most of my sermons with a humorous story that's always related to the message for the day. And some might wonder, why do I always do that? And one of the reasons why is because sometimes after we've just come into church and we've just kind of started to focus on things, we're not always able to turn our minds right on to the message of the day. And so that's one of the ways perhaps we can break the ice and do that. But another reason is because obviously sometimes we forget that church can be a place of joy. And it's important for us, I think, as well to remind those who are visiting of that along with us. And so that's one of those are some of the reasons why I begin my sermons many times with a humorous story. And I want to share one with you that I shared many years ago. It was about a priest that had a flair for the dramatic. And so he was preaching on the story of our gospel lesson today of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, coming down in the form of a dove. And so he wanted to give the congregation a visual image of the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove. So he had the janitor stationed in the balcony where nobody could see him. And at the appropriate time when he gave the line and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, the janitor was to let the dove go, and the dove would fly all around the congregation, and they would kind of get a visual image of the baptism of Jesus. And so it came time in the sermon where the priest said, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. Nothing happened. We thought maybe the janitor didn't hear him, so he said it a little louder. And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. Still nothing happened. So he was getting angry by this time, and he looked up in the balcony and said, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. The voice of the janitor came back, the cat ate the Holy Spirit. You want me to throw down the cat? When we talk about the baptism of Jesus, we often think about the Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And as we think about that, Jesus was being baptized for a number of reasons. But when Jesus was baptized, he already had the Holy Spirit living inside of him. And so this Holy Spirit coming down upon him in the form of a dove was a sign that he was being anointed by the Holy Spirit for the ministry upon which he was about to embark. It was also a sign to John the Baptist and others that something special was happening to this man. And as Jesus was now being prepared for the ministry to which he was called, he received the anointing of the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Of course, Jesus was baptized in water in order to give us an example of what we are to do as followers of Christ. We're to be baptized in water as well. But he also gave us this image of being baptized with the Holy Spirit to let us know that we as Christians are to be baptized with the Holy Spirit as well. And so the waters of Jesus' baptism were really pretty smooth for him. Life was good. Everything was going well. I had the opportunity to go to Israel many years ago and go to the place where many pilgrims are baptized in the Jordan River. And it's a very calm place right there where they baptize. And so I can imagine Jesus was baptized in such a place as that. And so when Jesus was baptized, everything was calm and tranquil. He didn't have any problems. He even heard the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so things couldn't be getting any better. But what Jesus probably realized and what the others didn't realize is that those tranquil waters of baptism would soon become turbulent waters of testing and trial. Jesus, of course, would face the temptation in the wilderness. He would face persecution. He would face rejection. He would face his disciples turning against one another. He would ultimately be crucified, arrested and crucified. And so Jesus was headed for troubled waters. And as that was going on, Jesus recognized that he was going to be facing trials and tribulations in his life as they came to him. I had the opportunity when I was in Oregon to go on a whitewater rafting trip. Has anybody ever been on a whitewater rafting trip before? Well, if you have, you know that it's both an exhilarating and a terrifying experience. And so as we were getting prepared to go on this whitewater rafting trip, I began to realize there were some parallels between whitewater rafting and the Christian life. And I kind of want to kind of share some of those parallels with you today, if I might. The first principle of whitewater rafting is, that's what you came for. That's why you're there, to whitewater raft. The Christian life is really that way. It's not meant to be an easy ride down the river. It's meant to be a struggle from time to time. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So the first principle of whitewater rafting is, that's why you're here. I often think when I go through trials and tribulations in my life, that those are always bad things. And sometimes I don't realize that those things may be things that God brings along in my life for a particular purpose. Jesus said, James says this in the book of James, count it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So many times I don't realize that the trials and the struggles I go through are things that often are designed to bring about perseverance in my life and to strengthen my faith. Sometimes I don't realize as well that the problems that I have, many of those are caused by my own doing. Sometimes my own sin, sometimes my own neglect or whatever. Sometimes those things that happen to me are really things I don't understand why they're happening. Maybe those are things that God allows to happen. And so if I realize that those are two of the main reasons why those things happen, then I can react to the difficulties in my life in a much better way. If it's something that's beyond my control, then I can rejoice knowing that God has allowed this to happen to develop some aspect, perhaps even of the fruit of the Spirit. Back to my analogy, if life is what we're created to live, then we can view our life as a whitewater rafting experience. Life is difficult, but let's learn to enjoy it. The second thing I learned in whitewater rafting is if you come to a calm place, rest, there will be whitewaters later. Well, there'll be times in your life where you're going to have easy times, nothing's going wrong, everything's going just smoothly, no difficulties at all. Those are the times really just to rest and recharge and get ready because whitewater is surely coming. It's important to remember that the peaceful, calm waters are not normal in the Christian life, so don't expect them to always be there. The third thing I learned in whitewater rafting is never stop paddling, even when it seems hopeless. Now, when the guide told us that before we started, then I thought to myself, well, maybe I don't want to go whitewater rafting after all. You know, I don't want something that's kind of could be even hopeless. One of the things he told us is that to keep paddling until you are told to stop. It's easy for us to get discouraged in our lives and to think that our problems and our trials can keep us from following Christ. And we go through all these things and we say, what's the use? Why should I keep trying to live a Christian life? Why should I keep trying to do these things for the Lord? We sometimes feel like giving up. The Lord says, never stop paddling. Keep your eyes on me and you will never lose hope. The third thing we can learn from whitewater rafting is if you get in trouble, don't panic and remember the people around you. One of the things that you realize when you're in the raft is that you have seven other people with you in the raft. And each one, as they do their part, will work together to get you safely to your destination. We as Christians sometimes feel like that when we're having problems, when we're having difficulties, when we're having struggles, we just need to kind of isolate ourselves and try to handle the problems ourselves. But really, when we do that, we really become Lone Ranger Christians. When we do that, we don't allow the rest of the church family or our own family or our friends to help us through these whitewater trials. Also, we forget that as a church, we should be paddling in the same direction in order to be effective. Each person has a different role to fulfill, but we all are moving toward the goal of becoming mature in our faith in Jesus Christ. When you get into trouble as an individual or when you get into trouble as a church, we must remember the people around us and how our actions and decisions affect those we love. When I've struggled in the past, it was helpful to have a fellow Christian or Christians that I can go to help give me support and encouragement. When we make bad decisions or make wrong decisions, wrong choices, we need the help of our fellow believers to walk with us through those turbulent waters. A fifth thing I learned in whitewater rafting is if you do go under, let go of everything. And again, when they told us that it's possible to go under, I was thinking, maybe I don't want to do this after all. But the raft, if the raft capsizes, there's a rope on the inside of the raft, and you hold on to that so that when you go over the waves, you won't be thrown out of the boat. And so they said sometimes it can happen that the raft will turn over. And so if you're hanging on to the rope, that can hold you under the water and you could possibly drown. And so sometimes we need to let go of things in our lives that might be holding us under the water. I met a woman many years ago who had a tragedy in her life, and she was being mistreated by her family. And she was really a miserable woman. And she seemed to make everybody else around her miserable as well. All because she would not let go of the past, not let go of the hurts that she was holding on to. Sometimes when you go under in life, you have to let go of some of the things that you've taken on your back. That may mean taking a break from a ministry that you're doing, or stopping some activity that you've been devoting a lot of time to. I've seen people that have become embittered toward the church because they feel like they have to keep going on in their ministry and not take care of the things in their own personal life. Now, sometimes we can use that as an excuse for not getting involved in ministry, but there are other times where we need to take a break sometimes from what we're doing and really get our lives together with the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you find yourself going under, let go of everything and swim to Jesus. Look at your relationships. Get right with Jesus. Get right with your family. Get right with your church friends. Don't be surprised. The sixth thing is don't be surprised if the boat doesn't go where you want it to go. When you're whitewater rafting, sometimes you can paddle all you want, but the current takes you in a different direction. In our lives, we may not always get what we want. The direction of our lives may be different from what we envision. Often people are afraid to commit their lives to Christ, or they're afraid to be baptized with the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of losing control. They're afraid of their lives going in a different direction. And so we're afraid sometimes to let go of our lives and allow the Lord to direct and guide us. When we live our lives, we like it to be nicely charted out, and we don't like surprises. So when things don't work out like we planned, we feel uncomfortable and insecure. Sometimes the church doesn't go in the direction that you want it to go. That's all part of the ride. If the boat in your life, or if your church boat doesn't go where you want it to go, rather than abandoning ship, realize that this happens, and most often eventually it gets back on course. So we should pray for our boat, pray for our church. We should talk to our guide, talk to Jesus, ask him for help and direction. We should read the instruction manual, the Bible, and realize that you'll be with your friends in the boat wherever it goes. Because the boat guide, Jesus, is in control, he wants his boat to go down the river of truth, right doctrine, and love. As we trust in Jesus to guide us, our boat will eventually make it safely to its destination. The seventh thing that I learned whitewater rafting is that everyone paddles furiously to get somewhere, but really the current takes you downstream. When we first started out, the guide had us paddle against the current, and we struggled and struggled and realized we weren't getting anywhere. And so we realized that the current really was in control, where we thought we might be in control in the boat. When we try to paddle against the will of God or against the plan of God, either in our personal lives or in our church lives, we'll get nowhere and our lives will become useless and stagnant. We'll get worn out, exhausted, and burned out. When we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we begin to find it easier to paddle. Jesus once said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What he's talking about there is as we follow him, as we walk in his direction, as we walk with him, then things become easier in our lives, and we find that he is able to control our life, and as we're yoked with him, we can trust him to carry us through our lives and trust him to take the worry from us. We're going in his direction. We're going with his current. And finally, the last principle we learned whitewater rafting is this. Someone needs to call out the orders clearly it works better that way. When we were starting out, we realized that we needed to pay attention to our guide. For our guide was the one who would give us the directions of when to paddle, how to steer the boat, on what side of the boat to steer, to warn us of the dangers ahead and to give us directions on how to navigate around those dangers. As individuals, I believe it's important for us to have a spiritual director or a mature Christian that we can go to that can help us through the whitewater trials in our lives. There's a very mature pastor that I can go to from time to time if I have a struggle in my life or if I'm having something that I don't know how to handle or a question that I'm really, really wrestling with. And oftentimes he'll give me great advice on how to handle that particular situation. So perhaps you might want to try to find someone in your life, if you don't have someone like that, who can give you good spiritual advice and direction in your life. The Bible can also be a good source of guidance to help us navigate around the white water of temptation and relationships. For the church, there must be someone in the forefront to call out the orders to set forth the vision for the church. My job is primarily to point people to Jesus and to help us to use the paddles of the Holy Spirit to move us along the river of life. And certainly, while I'm not always able to lead us around the trouble, I believe that the rector is charged with the challenge of guiding the raft of St. Anne's in the direction of the kingdom of God. Each one of us has a role to play in that raft, in that direction that we're going. Part of that role has to do with our gospel lesson today. The gospel lesson, if you remember, talked about Andrew meeting Jesus Christ for the first time. And then he went and he brought his brother to Peter. To Jesus. He brought his brother Peter to Jesus, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to bring others to Jesus either individually or to bring them to church where they can hear about Jesus. And as we do that, then they can jump into the raft of this whitewater experience that we're on in this church. The good news is that the raft is not limited to only 8 people as I had in my raft. The raft is open to all people, and certainly there's room for many more people, as you see. And even if the church gets filled up, we can add another service. And even if that gets filled up, we can start new churches. So there's always room for more in the raft of the church. So I'd encourage you as you go through your life to realize that there's going to be whitewater experiences that you'll have to go through, trials and tribulations. And ultimately, look to the guide, to Jesus Christ, to help you through that very difficult time in your life. And he promises to be with you and get you safely through that trial in your life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have gone through the difficulties of life. You faced all the temptations that we face. You've gone through many more struggles than we probably will ever go through. And yet, Lord, you maintain your faith in your Father in heaven. Lord, give us the strength to not only maintain our faith in you and our Father in heaven, but also to realize the purpose and the benefits sometimes of the trials and testings that we face. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might have the power to do the things that you call us to do in our life and in our ministries. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.